Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. I've got to tell you, I have come to a whole new appreciation for this sentiment since spraining my ankle. Many of you may remember my limping along back in this place in September, in the immediate aftermath of my accident. You may have heard me say that I fell down some stairs in the seminary library one fateful Thursday evening. What you might not know is that I was coming down those stairs from the children's section of our library after pulling a book to use with the moment with children here. So you are more connected to my ankle troubles than you may have realized. About 3 weeks after I fell, my healing pretty much stagnated. I wasn't sure how I was ever going to get back to walking normally, let alone running, so I decided to see a physical therapist. And after some initial measurements and assessments, she started me on an ankle-building regimen. Things started off easy enough with calf stretches and heel raises and some resistance band work. I will not demonstrate for you. I don't normally do this in front of an audience. And as the various muscles and tissues and ligaments around my ankle loosened up and got stronger, my exercises got harder. Those of you who've done PT yourself know exactly how this goes. Heel raises with both feet on the floor morphed into heel raises, one leg at a time, on the edge of a stair. Lowering one leg off a step in a kind of semi-squat turned into actual full-blown squats, which was not a fun development. After just a couple of visits, though, back in the fall, my physical therapist told me a hard truth. My ankle will never quite be the same due to the damage it sustained. The purpose of PT, then, has been to strengthen every other muscle in my lower body to compensate for that loss. With stronger calves and glutes and whatever else in there has been worked and worked and worked over the last 3 months, my body has become less reliant on my unreliable ankle and much better able to function. Now, just a few weeks from discharge, and having sat with this text from Paul all week, I wish I knew the names of all those other smaller muscles and ligaments that have made it possible for me to walk and run again. Those lesser members have become indispensable to me. In our reading today, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church he founded just a few years prior. From what Paul himself writes in this letter to the Corinthians, and from what's documented later about this church in the book of Acts, it seems likely that the congregation was made up of people of varying economic and social status levels. Corinth sat on a major trade route and was therefore a pretty prosperous city, allowing for a certain level of wealth amongst some of its residents. And consciousness regarding status and competition for improving status were everywhere. It's easy for us to imagine the Corinthians sizing one another up based on a job or income or their connections to the rich and famous. And from Paul's letter, it's clear that the Corinthian Christians had a habit of battling over church matters too. Apparently, the various manifestations of the Spirit provided a great opportunity for the Corinthians to engage in their favorite sport of competing for status. For whatever reason, certain manifestations or gifts of the Spirit were more valued by the Corinthians than others. The most valuable gift? Speaking in tongues, perhaps because it's more dramatic and unusual than, say, preaching. How boring is that? But Paul did not found the church in Corinth to be another competitive arena. He knew that the gift of speaking in tongues was no more important than any other gift of the Spirit, and he wrote to the Corinthians to remind them of just that. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, Paul writes. This passage, this body metaphor, may be familiar to you. It's one of the more frequently read gems in our biblical canon. And though you might not expect it, this metaphor of the human body was familiar to the Corinthians too. It was common in the Greco-Roman political realm to speak of the interdependence of the political system as using such a metaphor. Most often, writers would use the image to encourage adherence to established hierarchies of power. Greek historian Dionysius of Halicarnassus wrote around the same time as Paul that a commonwealth resembles a human body. For each is composite and consists of many parts, and not one of their parts either has the same function or performs the same services as the others. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
In his writing, Dionysius imagines what would happen if each part of the body ganged up on one of the other parts. In his scenario, all of the parts gang up on the very important stomach, saying, "What use are you to us? Why do we not assert our liberty and free ourselves from the many troubles we undergo for your sake?" Of course, after excommunicating the stomach from the body, the rest of the members die for lack of nutrition. Now consider the same condition existing in a commonwealth, Dionysius writes, effectively quashing any ideas the powerless might have about overthrowing the hand that feeds them, whether that be a governor or an emperor or some other powerful ruler. Just do what you're made to do, it seems Dionysius is saying, and stay in line. There are more important parts than you for a reason. So too, Paul writes that there are many members of the body of Christ arranged as God sees fit. And he agrees with Dionysius that the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." According to both writers, each member is vital to the overall function of the body. But then Paul upends that body metaphor the Corinthians know from their culture. He does not advise them to revere certain important body parts. Instead, he says, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. In other words, all members of the body deserve equal respect and appreciation. Culture might say that some members have a privileged function, but Paul says that all the members are equally valued. All functions are important. Why? Because God arranged for differences. Paul notes that some are apostles, other prophets, still others teachers and healers and leaders and those who speak in tongues, among others. None of these functions or gifts belong to everyone, but none of the gifts God gives through the Spirit are more meaningful than any other. They are all needed for the mission of Christ in the world. We are all the body of Christ and individually members of it. And friends, here is the good news. Despite what our culture might say about some gifts being more exciting or more sought after or worth more than others, God says that all our gifts are equally essential to the work of God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. Each individual member is vital to the functioning of the body as the whole. As Paul reminds us, God arranged us that way. Really, we were made for one another, all unique pieces of one amazing whole. And this amazing body, it's not this particular church with a lowercase c. We're talking about the capital C Church Universal out in the world, the ongoing incarnation of the Word of God yesterday, today, and in the future. And thanks be to God, because it takes a village, the whole body of Christ, to continue to the work of Jesus as he proclaims it in our text today from Luke, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. This work, it's too big to go at it alone, But Paul's letter to the Corinthians reminds us, even today, that we are not supposed to. Because no matter who we are or what gifts we possess, we all have something to contribute to the work of building God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. You play an important role in the body of Christ. You, each of you. And we need one another. Each and every part of this body needs each and every other part. Just like my ankle needs all the other parts of my leg to function effectively. You are each equally gifted to do God's work in this world together. Your gift might not look the same as mine or the same as the person sitting next to you in the pew, but it is absolutely essential for the work of God's kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.